Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim.
Well, happy days, everybody. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. And it's World War II Day, one of our very, very special days. We know it's so important to preserve history so that we don't repeat it. Humans are capable of terrible atrocities, as we've seen time and time again, and we're seeing in our own country right now. Once people are brainwashed to see others as less than human, like the Holocaust, or like slavery in America before Civil War, and actually still all over the rest of the world today. What's the solution? How about kindness towards others? Kindness towards those that look differently, that dress differently, that even vote differently, yeah. Respecting people's lives and their property rights of others. Respecting the right to actually breathe the same air you do, even if they're different. That's what made us great. That's what makes America wonderful. That's what makes us the great melting pot and brings so many people here still to save their lives and just to have a chance at freedom. Today, we're going to tell a very unique story, and we're going to have some friends tell it. We're going to bring in Liz Moreno, whose father, John Detling Sr., was in World War II. He helped to liberate several concentration camps. And then we're going to tell the story of Helen Collin, how she survived the Holocaust as a Jewish girl in Poland. And that story is going to be told by her two daughters, Muriel and Jeannie. So we'd love to hear what you have to say. We're the AmeriChicks at AmeriChicks.com or on Facebook or on Twitter. And our phone number here at KDMT is 303-632-4160. Let's go ahead and jump in. Liz Moreno, welcome to the AmeriChicks show.
Good evening. I'm glad to be with you ladies tonight.
Well, it's good to have you, Liz. You've been a little busy this week, haven't you?
Just a little. Not as busy as other people, but yes, busy.
And you're in Texas. So how close are you to Houston?
About 45, 50 miles from Houston, but we've got our own flooding in our own town, and Houston's got theirs, and the other side of Houston has theirs. It's been an equal opportunity destroyer.
You are a positive woman. You're the only one that could put that kind of a spin on it. So, well, our prayers go out to all of you in Texas. And Muriel and Jeannie, who will be joining us in a little bit, they're also down in Texas. So we'll get their experiences. So great to have you with us, Liz.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
So real quick as a setup, Liz Moreno, your father, John Detling Sr., was in the U.S. Army from February 1942 to September 1945. He was in the 603rd Tank Destroyer Battalion. He was attached to the 6th Armored Division under General Patton's 3rd Army. And you gave us a full interview on your dad on July 28th. And we wanted to make sure that everybody knows they can go back to the AmeriChicks website and listen to that interview. It's going to be very important to hear his story because now we want to hear John's daughter talk about the liberation of a few camps and about Helen Collins, who was a Holocaust survivor. Liz, you helped to write her autobiography, but tell us, how did you meet Helen?
Well, the way it came down was I was teaching junior high school in Bay City, Texas. I was new to junior high. I didn't know what to do or how to do it. Another teacher, Martha Cashin, was teaching the Holocaust unit. So I jumped in and started teaching Holocaust also. After a year or two of teaching it, my husband and I took a trip to the museum in Houston and decided this is something that kids need to see. So when I got back, I talked to the teachers and we set up a field trip for the students to go to the Holocaust Museum in Houston. That first trip we went to changed my life forever. A speaker, Walter Case, told the kids his story, and it was a very moving story. And at the end of his story, he told us how when they were being liberated from the camp he was in, and he was in Dachau, the Americans came rolling in one of the soldiers got out of his tank, went and talked to him, and told him, this is horrible what they're doing to you guys. I see why we had to leave our homes and come help you. And that soldier reached in his pocket and gave him a Hershey's chocolate bar with almonds in it. My dad had told us that story. And when I heard it from the other side, it was like, wow. You know, up until then, Daddy's stories were just stories. But to make a long story short, I wrote the museum a letter explaining that situation. Dad and Mom were invited to go to a banquet to honor liberators. I decided I wanted to go too, until I found out tickets were $500 apiece.
Oh.
And that kind of put a damper on things. In the meantime, my dad was invited to go to Dallas to tell his story at one of my cousins, Karen Kudelak's school. And the students there took it upon themselves to raise money so that the family could buy an extra ticket. They sent them home with $265.
Oh.
I figured if strangers can do that, I can do something. So I ended up making Rice Krispies and sneaking them into school and selling them every day for several weeks, for a couple of weeks, actually. And some people gave us donations. I got to go to the banquet with them. And the person they sat us at the table with was Helen Collin and her daughter Muriel. As we sat there and exchanged conversation, found out that her husband had been in Buchenwald, and my dad had helped to liberate that camp. So that connection opened the door for us to be even closer than just casual acquaintances. She became my adopted Jewish mother, and I'm so proud and so honored to be a part of that legacy.
Well, we love it. Liz Moreno, you helped write the book, the autobiography for Helen Collin. It's called My Dream of Freedom, From Holocaust to My Beloved America. Stick with us. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Helen's time in the war, in the Holocaust, in the concentration camps, and we're going to have her daughters Muriel and Jeannie join us. So stick with us. This is the Marichicks, and tune in on KDMT.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interest in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the Americhicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the American sent you.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. All new movies are a triple feature and only $8. Children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. 88 Drive-In Theater, the last remaining original drive-in theater in the Denver metro area. And they've been serving the community since 1972. Be sure to visit their delicious snack bar. Monday through Thursday, get their special pizza deal. One 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Be sure to try the delicious funnel cake with up to four toppings to choose from. For more info on movie showings and times, visit 88drivein.com. And be sure to tell them the Americhicks send you.
Hey, Molly, we were just listening to the ad for the historic 88 Drive-In Theater, and it is a beautiful night here in Colorado. And we suggest you get out there because it's going to be Throwback Friday tonight, Wayne's World.
Party on, Wayne's World.
Yeah, in addition to the other movies. So it's going to be a really fun night out there at 88 Drive-In Theater.
Sure is. So welcome back to World War II Friday with the Americhicks on KDMT. We are talking about Helen Collin's story, and one of her quotes on the back of her book, Butterflies Are Free and So Am I, and I just love it. You can check out her autobiography, My Dream of Freedom, From Holocaust to My Beloved America. And on the line, we have with us Liz Moreno, who helped to write her autobiography. And Liz, you were telling us before break about the story that you were at an event for liberators in Texas because your father, John Detling Sr., was in the Army from 42 to 45, and he helped to liberate several concentration camps. And you found out while sitting at this liberation event, at the same table with Helen Collin and her daughter, Muriel, that Helen's husband was in Buchenwald and that your father liberated that as one of the concentration camps. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. Let's go on from there. So you're sitting at the table, you meet Helen and start to hear her story.
Yes. I had heard her on the video that the Holocaust Museum had, and for some, whatever reason, she made a great impression on me in that video. But then to be sitting next to this person was just overwhelming. I was hesitant to invite her to talk to our kids at school, but she was so warm and welcoming. She came to our junior high many times and spoke to the kids. And she's was a very short woman, maybe 5'2", maybe not even that much, probably 100 pounds at the most. And she would stand on that stage and talk to these kids. We're talking junior high kids. You could hear a pin drop.
Wow.
300 kids in a room, and you didn't hear a sound except the sound of her voice and the sniffles from the kids who were crying because her story touched them so greatly. And after a couple of years of having that kind of a reaction, I got to where I felt very comfortable with her and was able to talk to her about just about anything. And she surprised me one day. It was on a Sunday in the springtime, and she called to wish me Happy Easter. And I thought, what have I done to deserve her giving me a call like that? And that just blew me away. Anyway, we developed a real, real close relationship. And when it came time to write her story, she was more than willing to let me, because there's so many things she wanted to share, but each time she told the story, she'd tell something new. So she needed it all written down in as much as possible, and I was the one, not the main one. There were two other ladies who helped. One was Lynn Bliss, and the third one was, what is her name? There was a third one. Anyway, I'll find her name.
And it looks like Cammy Schiffman. Cammy, yes. Schiffman.
Cammy Schiffman.
Okay.
And I probably did maybe about 80 to 85% of the book, and these other two ladies picked up where I left off and finished it off.
Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. Well, thank you, Liz Moreno. So I've got the book, My Dream of Freedom, in front of me, and in the back I can see the letters that were written, several of them to Helen Collins, just saying you touched my heart. You know, thank you for telling us. I'm sorry about all the tragedies that occurred. We feel it's amazing you feel so loving towards the human race and that you've forgiven the Germans and you're an inspiration. And this is all really great. Let's go ahead and talk to Muriel, which is one of Helen's two daughters. We have Muriel Makler on the line. Thank you for joining us, Muriel.
Thank you for asking me.
Well, we would love to hear memories of your mom and stories that she told you when she was here from the war.
First, I would want to acknowledge Liz as such an important part of her life and such an incredible impetus for her to... for my mother to dictate her autobiography with Liz's insistence. My mother was always very pragmatic, very realistic, and she knew that one day her voice would be stilled, and she really wanted to try to put out a collection of her memories of her experiences, not a story, but a history. And Liz was an amazing person who walked side by side with her through that experience and made it happen. She was very, very grateful. during my childhood, initially, while I knew that my parents, both my father and my mother, had strong accents, they did not directly share experiences about their life during the Holocaust. They waited, and I think gradually introduced us to information about their experiences. What I remember more is my mother being able to talk fondly, lovingly about family whom we never knew, grandparents, uncles, aunts. My mother had siblings who died during the Holocaust, but she also had a sister who survived. And my father also had siblings who died, but one brother survived. And the brother of my father married the sister of my mother. So there was some continuity in our family's experience, but when you're a child, you really look around at your neighbors and your friends, and you wonder, why don't you have grandparents? Why don't you have more cousins? Why is your family so small? And why does everyone who you know, who is a grown-up, seem to have a funny accent? So gradually, as we got older and we began to ask questions, my mother shared, and my father too, shared some of their experiences, but never speaking of hate. Most often of the sadness of the loss that they experienced.
Muriel, it's Kim here. I watched, I didn't have a chance to watch all of it yet. There's a YouTube video, an interview with your mother. It's over 2 hours long. It's pretty riveting, the stories. I mean, she's, as you mentioned, she's pragmatic about it, but the stories are riveting. When in your life did you realize, we're talking with Muriel Meichler, who is the daughter of Helen Cullen, World War II Holocaust survivor. So Muriel, when did you start to connect the dots? How old were you?
Well, definitely in elementary school, probably beginning around, say, 7 or 8, third or fourth grade. One of the things that my mother and father both did in the early years is really committed to try to reconstruct a life here, a family. And my mother and father didn't speak openly about their experiences and didn't share as witnesses as she did later in her life with Liz's group, didn't begin to do that until I was well into, I would say, college, before she began to go on to a speaker's bureau or committee and willingly accepted invitations to speak about her experiences. So my recollection was that we really obtained information slowly, and as I said, in remembering, never with my mother, never with a great deal of expressed hatred or anger, but sadness. My father was more vocal about his anger, but my mother really tried, I think, to get past the the bitterness, but not completely. I think she would say, I will never forget, but I can forgive.
Well, that is pretty evident. Some of the quotes by her and also by Elie Wiesel was they're mm-hmm. amazing about forgiveness. This show is going way too quickly, Muriel. We've got about 2 minutes. What is one of the most memorable stories or things that you learned from your mother, Helen Colon?
From my point of view, it is the value of life and the importance of respecting each person as an individual. As you know, I'm living here in Houston, or I guess I can say I'm living here in Houston. 2 years ago, in 2015, my mother's home flooded in a huge flood, which we thought at that time would never be surpassed.
Surprise!
And, 2017.
And when I received a call from her letting me know that she was in the flood, I tried to get to her as soon as possible. When we finally could get to her, she left her home with no sense of real loss. She knew that things were not important, that people were important. And I think that that's probably the lesson that she conveyed and tried to convey every time she spoke to one of Liz's classes.
Well, Molly, we are looking at the book your mother has written. It's My Dream of Freedom. And the letters from the kids in Liz Marino's classes to your mother are absolutely beautiful, just amazingly
yes.
beautiful how
yes.
she touched these children's lives.
Yes, yes. And that's what she wanted to do. She said, the future's in the hands of our children. And we have to tell them to be vigilant against hatred. That's the purpose. That's why she took herself through each experience every time that she did with a great deal of sorrow and a great deal of pain.
Mm. Muriel Michler, thank you so much for joining us today, the AmeriChicks, to talk about your mom, Helen Colon, Holocaust survivor from World War II. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I'm honored.
And God bless in Texas. We'll be right back with more stories from Helen Colon.
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or large remodel. They'll help you out.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Well, it is a beautiful world as long as we can forgive each other and see each other as human beings. It's World War II Day. This is the AmeriChicks, and we are talking about the late Helen Colon, and she was a Holocaust survivor during the Second World War. And her book is My Dream of Freedom, From Holocaust to My Beloved America. One of two of her daughters one's been on with us, the other's on now. We just got off the phone with Muriel Michler, and now we're about to have Jeannie Colon Goldman join us. And also on the line, we have Liz Moreno, I'm so sorry, who helped Helen write her autobiography. And if you go to the AmeriChicks Facebook page, you can watch a long documentary from Helen Colon's words herself. She was very pragmatic about her time in during the war in the concentration camps, and she was in 13 overall, I believe. But she tells very, very serious stories about, you know, when she was in there, and of course they were stripped naked. They were put in the shower, quickly taken out. They were strip searched. They went through their mouths to find out if they were hiding anything, and to take the gold caps off their teeth to save
with pliers.
Ugh. Yeah. And of course her, you know, she had her parents' pictures in her mouth that were taken. So many terrible things that happened in the concentration camps that we want to make sure that everybody remembers history so that we don't repeat it, and that we do as Helen told us to do, is to respect and love each other. And so now let's go to Helen's daughter, Jeannie. Jeannie, welcome to the AmeriChicks show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. We just are honored that you're with us, that you would take the time to share some stories from your mom. Please tell us a story that you remember from your mother.
I think the story that hit home to me was being in school and having the Nazis coming to their schools and segregating the Jews from the Christians and taking all of the personal property that the children had with them, their school books, their backpacks, putting them in the middle of the playground and lighting them on fire and sending the kids home and telling them they can't come back to school. That struck me very hard. I can't imagine. One of the things I do want to express about my mom, over having spoken for over 70 years on racism, anti-Semitism, and bullying, is that she never held a grudge. And whenever people would ask her questions after her speaking, the first question was always, well, don't you hate the Germans? And my mother would always answer and say, if I hated the Germans, then I wouldn't be any better than Hitler was. Mm-hmm. And her whole attitude in life was giving love and letting people know how important everyone is, and that it takes all of us to make this world a better place, one person at a time. And that was probably a message that I carried through my life. And she also taught me to judge people from the inside out and don't look at the outside. And that was a very big message that she gave me. Very hard to imagine being 17 years old when you go into the concentration camp, seeing your father die of starvation in the street, and losing your whole family before you were 20 years old. I can't imagine what she could have gone through. It takes an amazing person to go through all these things, spend so many years under such brutality, and then come out of the other side without hating. So hate is something she taught me that you are educated in. Hate is not something you're born with, she told me. Hate is something that you are educated in. It is what you learn at home. And what we need to make sure that people know is that you can teach people to love, or you can raise children to hate. And it is a choice. And it's an important thing to remember, so that we bring to the attention of families the importance of letting your children know to be loving and respectful to everyone.
You know, Jeannie, this is Kim here, and you know, one of the things you're alluding to or mentioned, and we, when we were talking with your sister Muriel, we talked a little bit about this, as well as Ellie Wiesel said that they talk a lot about gratitude. And actually, right now in America with what's going on, I don't see a lot of gratitude. There's not, you can't be a victim and grateful at the same time. I just don't think that it works. And we have a friend of ours. And in a way, I almost feel, I mean, with what your mom's gone through, she said the first time a victim, the second time a volunteer. That's not quite, you know, that doesn't work really with the story with your mom. But with the victimhood that's going on in America today, I mean, to live in the freest country in the world and have all of these things at our fingertips and not be grateful, it's just really a head-scratcher to me, Jeannie.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that many of our young people are so far removed from the understanding of how freedom is not so free. We must work to keep our countries free, and we must understand that this is not a given. This is something that we have to protect and stand up for. I think it's important for young people to understand that they have choices in life. You have a choice in life to become a victim or a survivor. And that goes for whatever happens to you. And many people have horrible things happen to you. But if my mother, if she took the attitude that she was a victim, then you're always looking at the negative side of a lesson. There is a lesson to be learned in life, and you can look at the positive side and become a better person and a loving person by getting through your problems and your conflicts in life and learning from them and surviving and being a better person because of the hardships you go through. I know that my mother was a better person than had she not gone through this.
Wow.
Because when you have so much freedom taken away from you, you have your family murdered. You have everything that you grew up with taken out of you. There's nothing left. I mean, all you are left with when you are a concentration camp survivor is survival. That's all you have left is survival. And if my mom looked at herself as a victim in the concentration camps, she probably would not have survived.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her survival instincts is what pulled her through all those years of horror.
Yeah. Jeannie Colin Goldman, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything else in the next couple minutes you want to tell us about your mom or any memories?
I just want to say the same thing that my mom would say to everyone. Respect each other and love each other.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jeannie Colin Goldman. We appreciate you very much for talking to us about your mother, the late Helen Colin.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Thank you. So Liz Moreno, we have a few minutes. Anything you want to add on to that? And then when we come back, we're going to hear just stories straight from you because you helped her write her autobiography.
Okay. She was a delightful person. To know her is to love her. I gave a description of her size a while ago. Even when she entered her 90s, this woman still wore high heels. She wouldn't leave the house without putting her Sherwin-Williams on to make her look good. She was just a beautiful person. And there's so many things I could say, but I think I'll let you ask questions so I can get in the area that you want me to get.
Sure. Well, you helped her to write her autobiography. In the back, we have a lot of letters from the students, but you said that none of the letter your kids have a letter here. Do you want to share any stories from any of your kids' feedback?
My kids were very overwhelmed by what she had to say, and several of them made the comment, in fact, a bunch of them made the comment that I won't ever leave the house without kissing my parents or telling them I love them, because that was one of the things she emphasized. And a few of them said, you know, I thought my life was bad, but I see now my life's not nearly as bad as I thought it was. And there were a few that had contemplated suicide, and I think in our classes, but also in other kids that she spoke to. And when they heard her story, they realized if she lived through that, they can live through what they've got to go through, too.
Well,
powerful impact on these young people.
Well, Liz, it sure is. And what grade were your kids at that time?
Mine were in junior high.
Okay.
And there's a teacher at the University of Texas. I mean, excuse me, he's at Texas A&M in Galveston. And I better watch out. My son might get...
Well, hey, hang on. Think about that. We'll talk about it when we get back. We're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll come back with Liz Moreno. We're talking about the late Helen Colin, who survived the Holocaust.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Kriebel.
Many cities have highway lanes dedicated to carpools, a simple way to reduce auto emissions and save gas. In Virginia, two sharp entrepreneurs, using their own cars, figured out that people would pay them to show up every morning to pick up riders. Lobbyists for the big taxi companies saw it as competition and got the state to ban the practice. These overzealous regulators should have looked through the lens of liberty. They might have seen that protecting some businesses against the competition from others is not the state's job. For the moment, you're allowed to give me a lift in Virginia if you do it for free, but not if I pay you for your gas. Is it really government's job to forbid us from carpooling if we share gas money?
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, we are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. It has all kinds of great information there. And we are the AmeriChicks at Facebook and Twitter as well. Today is our World War II story day, and we've got Liz Marino on the line. Before we get to that, we want to talk about somebody else that's down in Texas right now, and that is Bill Imony, is the founder of EvanYourITGuy.com. It's a network of IT professionals. And Molly, what's great is they're going live about mid-September, to provide on-demand help with computer needs for individuals as well as small businesses. You know, small businesses really get squeezed, Molly. And they're going to be able to help small businesses if they have any IT problems. And so would suggest that, check out EvanYourITGuy.com. And also, they have these little webcam covers, which I'm not sure people understand just how cool they are. They're free. And we've got them on our computers. And so if you'd like one, just go to their website. Go to the Discover tab. You'll see free webcam cover. Click on that. Fill out your contact information. Tell them you know the AmeriChicks, and you'll get one in the mail. So small business individuals, all of you, just check that out.
EvanYourITGuy.com. Awesome. So back to World War II. So Helen Collin was a Holocaust survivor from the war. Her book is called My Dream of Freedom from Holocaust to My Beloved America. And we're on the phone with Liz Moreno, who helped write her autobiography. And Liz, you were teaching junior high kids who Helen came to speak to, and they said it really touched their hearts to hear that she was still forgiving of humans and of the Germans, even after the atrocities that she went through during the war. But then you said, you know, some children said they were talking or thinking about suicide, and this really made them think again. And I think that's a very important thing to hear, even in America today in 2017. A lot of kids are feeling desperate and don't know where to turn. And without a mother to tell them or a father to tell them that they are cherished and they are loved and they are precious, and to just keep on going, you know, how do you find the courage to keep going? So thank you for sharing that with us. And Liz, tell us really fast, you helped with this autobiography. Tell us a couple of your favorite stories, and then we're going to push people to go buy this book.
Okay, there's about maybe three or four that really stand out. The first one is about how she and her sister found her dad. He didn't come home from being out in the ghetto. He spent every day looking for food, and one day he didn't come home. And she and sister went out looking for him, couldn't find him. They went to the morgue up one aisle and down the other. And Helen found a foot that looked like her dad's, and she says, "Steffi, I think I found, here's Daddy." And they had to get his body out from all the other corpses that were on top of him. They asked if they could borrow the shovel so they could give him a proper burial, and because they were Jewish, the caretakers would not let them use a shovel. She and Steffi went with their hands and dug a hole, put him in a shallow grave. She used her sweater to cover his face because she couldn't stand his mouth being filled with dirt when they covered him back over. And that was one of the biggies. The next biggie was when their family was taken to, when the camps were, I mean, not the camps, the ghettos were dispersed. They were taken away, and she and her sisters and mother were on the train. Little sister got sent one direction. Mother was being sent with Helen and her other sister. And little sister started crying. Oh, Mommy, I'm so scared. I'm scared. Please, Mommy, come with me. So Mommy went with little sister. And there's more to the story, but she waved at Helen and Steffi and said, y'all are big girls. Be good. And she blew them a kiss. And that was the last time she had seen them. So that has always stood out in my mind, waving goodbye to your mother like that for the last time and not knowing they're going straight to the gas chamber.
Yeah.
She and Steffi figured out a way that they could get food from the German shepherds. The Nazis fed their German shepherds quite well, and I don't know how they were able to do it, but one of them stood on one end of the by the gate where the shepherds were, the German shepherds, and kept them aggravated so the other one could reach her arm through and pull out food that had been thrown to the German shepherds so they'd have a little bit of extra something to eat. And that is hard to imagine also. They were in, she was in 8 different concentration camps, and that was in the last year of being in World War II. The first 4 years she spent in the ghetto, and her ghetto stories are pretty amazing also. She and her husband, when they got married because her mama wanted her to be taken care of, and their marriage ceremony was performed with, I think, 100-and-something other couples all at the same time. And because they got married, they were given a few extra carrots and potatoes, maybe some beets, but they got a little bit of an extra food ration out of being married. So I could tell you a whole lot more, but maybe that's enough to whet somebody's appetite.
Liz,
I don't know what happened on that last day, but I don't want to give the secret away.
Oh, gosh, I kind of want to hear the gift, not, well, yeah, I guess we won't. Is that the one you're thinking of, the birthday?
Yes, the birthday present.
Okay, Liz, it's Kim here. I'm just sitting here thinking about the experience that you had and getting to know Helen Collin, her daughters. What has changed you? How has this affected you?
Well, I don't think I honestly knew what the Holocaust was until I started teaching it, and I was well past 40 when I started. That was probably 45, 46. But once I learned and I realized my dad's part and I realized what all happened to Helen Collin, I became very, very passionate. My favorite piece of jewelry is a Star of David that has a cross on the inside. And some people look at me and they say, what? And I said, you can't have one without the other. If it hadn't been for the Jewish nation, the Jewish history, we wouldn't have had Christianity, and the two belong together. And last time I spoke with you, I told you about the March of Remembrance and the Crossover Project and those things. I've become very active in that movement also, because what their purpose is to try to bring reconciliation between the descendants of each group, the Nazis, the Holocaust victims and their descendants, the liberators, their descendants, and the citizens. And there's some powerful healing going on that just is beautiful to see in this world that has so much division.
Liz, I'm hoping that I remember this right. Your father, John Detling, liberated several different camps. Wasn't his story the one about the crucifix? Am I remembering that right?
Yes.
Would you quickly... That's
how y'all got to know me, because my cousin Camille Gerard told y'all that was a... I'm not sure how she presented the story to Molly, but after that, Molly contacted me.
Molly
she
was
did
on,
a good
Molly
enough
was
job,
on
I was
mission.
On fire. Tell the story, Liz, tell it.
Okay. Dad and the soldiers were walking along the beach road, I'm supposing in Normandy, and they caught a couple of German soldiers. So they took them and they were frisking them, and one of the American soldiers said, we need to kill these guys, they're just Germans. And my dad said, no, we're not going to kill them, we're going to treat them right. So when they frisked when Dad frisked one of the soldiers, he took a cross out of his pocket, a rosary. He made the sign of the cross. He gave it back to him, and he says, "Here, you need to pray for this thing to be over." And the soldier looked at him. Dad could speak German. That's how they could communicate. Dad was very good speaking German. And he said, "You mean you're not going to kill us?" And Daddy says, "No, we want to go home, too. We're just doing our job. We want to get out of this, too." And the soldier said, "If you're not going to kill us, we've got some more that want to give up." And he motioned to a little hedgerow or a little hill, and I think 35 more soldiers came out from behind there, 35 German soldiers. And Dad and his little group of maybe 3, 4, 5 men, not very many at all, were responsible for capturing that many people at one time. When they finally got someone to come and take them into custody, they went back behind that little hill, and they found all kinds of ammunition set up and ready to go, machine guns and all kinds of stuff that would have, had they shot those guys, I wouldn't be here to tell you the story. And so God had his hand on it, and that's the one who has to get credit for whatever happened, because without God's intervention, there would not have been a story to tell on that event.
Oh, that is just really powerful. Liz Marino, we have just about a minute. I think it's really God-given. And Molly and I, this whole World War II project has just really been amazing. The people, and it's changed our lives just telling these stories. Last thought, Liz Marino, we'll have you on again, but last thought of these last two interviews, what would you like to have our listeners remember?
That there was a saying that Corrie ten Boom had, that no matter how deep a pit man builds, God's love is deeper still. And in Helen's events and in my dad's events, they both went through some horrible things, but I believe it was God's love and God's intervention that brought them through so that they would be able to have families and bear witness to the atrocities that took place. And may the Lord help us not let those things happen again. I've seen bubbles of it. I don't want them to erupt into full-blown distress.
Well,
thank you, Liz Marino. And how do people find more of your writings? You have some special writings to share.
Yes, I finally opened up a Facebook page for my writing, and people can laugh, but the name of the page is Sancho the Silly Billy Goat and Friends, because I plan to write more things, and I had to start somewhere, and it's so much easier to remember a silly name like that than to look for my name, because there are a lot of women with my name. So.
Thank you. Liz Marino, Sancho the Silly Billy Goat and Friends on Facebook. Check her out.
Okay. Quotes for the day. Ellie Wiesel, a Holocaust survivor, says, "Without memory, there is no culture. Without memory, there would be no civilization, no society, and no future." And that talks about tearing down history here in America.
This is the AmeriChicks signing off. Y'all have a good night, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, ladies.